time, boys. This gotta work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't gotta go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
So to wake up and Ellen's wrong, just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Hey, welcome to a brand new week of the Bob and Sherry Show. We've got all kinds of good stuff planned for you, and I want to start off, let's just spill a little bit of really bizarre, dysfunctional, wacky show business tea. So when I first saw this percolating in my news feed and on social, I thought, nah, this can't be right. No, this can't be accurate. But it's now like starting to hit legit news sources. And so here's the deal. Tish Cyrus, who is the mother of Miley Cyrus and the ex-wife of Billy Ray Cyrus, they got divorced. Billy Ray and Tish split up. He went off and got engaged to someone named Fire Rose. Maybe they're married by now. I don't know. I remember we talked about it. And then Tish recently remarried an actor, one of the actors from the TV show Prison Break. He's a British actor named Dominic Purcell. So here is the story that started kind of popping. And it really began when Tish married this guy because some of her kids didn't show up for the wedding. And then it got more fuel during the Grammys when Miley Cyrus won for Flowers and completely excluded any mention of Billy Ray from her thank yous. And maybe you noticed it and maybe you didn't because you have an actual full 3D life, but she didn't. And that was, people were like, what's up with that? You know, Miley and Billy Ray have always been close. Okay, here's the dealio. Apparently, Tish's other daughter, the singer Noah Cyrus, was dating this man when Tish met him and stole him from her daughter and married him. And that's why the family's all jacked up.
Oh, really? But what did that have to do with not mentioning Billy?
Apparently, the family people have taken sides. And Miley, Tish's wedding was in Miley's backyard. And Billy Ray, of course, wasn't there. And neither was Noah and one of the brothers. So it looks like this is what it looks like. It looks like Billy Ray sided with Noah, as in, yeah, your mom's stealing your boyfriend was super low. And Miley sided with Tish saying, don't be ridiculous. You know, it's love and the heart wants what it wants or whatever. That's the story. That is some, I mean, you don't get very many instances in this life of a parent
cut and
stealing
dry.
a boyfriend or a girlfriend like that.
Right. No.
Have you ever known that in your real life? Any of you?
Not in real life. I have not in real life. No. So was he actually stolen? Did Tish actually steal the guy from her daughter? They were still dating when Tish moved in, or, you know,
according to this, Noah, who's 24, was still dating Dominic, who was 54, when Tish started pursuing Dominic. And Tish was aware that her daughter, Noah, was dating this man when she slid into his DMs.
That's a, I tell you what, you think you're having a tough time at Thanksgiving. Can you imagine? I mean, could that ever be, I guess it could be healed, but maybe not. A backstab. Yeah.
That's the only Thanksgiving table where I would bring up politics. I would bring up politics immediately.
Oh, that's brilliant, Lamar. That is brilliant. You're exactly right.
man.
I just.
Oh, like, man.
I know you should never say never or whatever, but I really cannot imagine any scenario in which I'm like, I know Karamee is dating that boy, but he's mine. Like, I just can't.
I know. I mean, would the girl ever forgive her mother? I guess she would, you know.
Like, were they still dating right up to the moment of the switch?
That's what I was wondering.
Story. Yeah, that's the story. Yeah.
That's the big thing right there.
Now, Miley did not, Billy Ray did marry Fire Rose, and Miley did not go to their wedding, which is also allegedly a source of conflict in the family. So.
I would never miss a wedding where the bride's name was Fire Rose. I would never.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
No, because that's going to be a good one, right?
Do you, Fire Rose?
Take Billy Ray.
Yeah.
So, you know that supermarket tabloid? That, like, they'll have a picture of, like Kate Winslet buying groceries. The stars, they're just like us. Here's one instance where the stars are not really that much like us.
Hey, I know you'll find it hard to believe, but I've never been to a wedding with somebody named Billy Ray. I know you'll find it hard to believe in my life.
I'm shocked. I am.
Hey, if you marry somebody named Fire Rose, what kind of a tattoo should you get?
Oh, let me think on that one.
Think on
maybe,
that one.
I don't know. Maybe the Lucky Charms leprechaun riding a dolphin. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right.
We got morons in the news coming up. We have comedian Mary Gallagher. We have a story about a man who was so cold that his teeth shattered inside his mouth. Oh, we've got such a good Monday for you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Sherry and I are so very lucky because we get to hang out with people that we love and laugh and have a good time, talk about stuff. And we get to travel sometimes around the country and meet our listeners. And so many of the people who support our show at different stations are just wonderful people, program directors and managers and all of that. And we very much appreciate it. But over the years, we have come upon a couple of really kooky situations. One of them, we did a personal appearance at a card table that was, and I'm not exaggerating, about 3 to 5 feet
in the road.
Away from rush hour traffic flying by. If somebody just moved a little to the right, that'd be the end of the show. We also did a personal appearance at a Dairy Queen in Pennsylvania, where we were situated right where people were ordering their blizzards. So it was like blizzard here, Bob and Sherry right there. And that was uncomfortable. But for the most part, it's been great. We actually had, we worked for a guy who owned two radio stations. One of them was the station that we were on. It was an FM radio station. And he had an AM station that was not doing well. Some AM stations are doing very well, but his was not. And so he came up with the idea, that the radio station 24/7 would be a sleep machine. So you would turn on the radio station and you would hear, the idea was that people would go to sleep listening to the radio station. And I asked him, I said, what about commercials? Because you have to make money. He said, we're just going to do them quiet-like. We interrupt the sleep machine for a moment to announce that Helen and Jack's breakfast restaurant will now be open for lunch. And obviously, it did not work. I thought it was the craziest thing ever. And that leads us to a big-time CEO has come up with an idea that I think people absolutely hate. His name is Gary Pilnick. And CNBC, he pitched the idea of cereal for dinner for the family, not just once in a while, because we all do that once in a while, but every day. He said, advertising cereal for dinner is a way to deal with the steep cost of groceries right now. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they do otherwise, it's going to be much more affordable if they eat, as a family, on a daily basis, cereal. Americans are spending 10% or more on their income on food, and most have done that for 30 years. That's about $1,000 a month. Social media users have had plenty to say. One guy whose name is Jim Lai said, "And how do you think consumers came under the pressure? It's companies like Kellogg's that have used the excuse of inflation in order to price gouge consumers." I'm just saying, never since it was uttered, "Let them eat cake," by Marie Antoinette, has a CEO said something that would piss off more people. Again, I've eaten cereal for dinner. We just about all have. But to say to your family today, "Why don't you all eat cereal, because I'm selling cereal, because you all can't afford hamburger or chicken or whatever it is," don't you think that really is, coming from a CEO, kind of a up yours to the American family a little bit?
I do, yeah. And it puts me in mind of, there was an article that was published, I was either in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, just like within the month, that said, one way to save money is to skip breakfast. And so it was this whole article about how if Americans would skip breakfast, we could save a few dollars on our groceries, which is even worse than let them eat cake, because we're not even getting cake. Like, we're just getting nothing. Just be hungry.
Exactly.
So not a month later, this news organization announces layoffs and hundreds of people lose their jobs, including this reporter. And he tweets about his layoff, and somebody comments with a screenshot of the article about Americans can save money by not eating breakfast. And all the tweet said was, "That you?" Because, it's harsh out there for everybody. And
that's right.
Skipping breakfast and cereal for dinner. And by the way, Kellogg's is guilty of such shrinkflation, meaning the price goes up, but the package gets just incrementally smaller and smaller. That's a real thing they've done. And price gouging. Yeah. So, let's have some cereal for dinner, you miserable, god-awful Gilded Age tycoon.
Right.
This is how revolutions begin, Bob Lacey. This is where they start, right here. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Okay, you really have to remember this story from a couple of years ago. There was a captain of a ferry boat in Washington State. His name was Captain Dave Cole, and he was behind the helm when the Calumet ferry crashed during an attempted landing at the West Seattle dock. The incident endangered the passengers and crew of the ferry, as well as those in the ferry terminal. He's behind the wheel, and he took the ferry right into the dock. People went flying and so on and so forth. Well, it's in the news again, because they did not fire him. Looking back on his career of 37 years, the folks who run that ferry said Captain Cole was formally reprimanded in 2018, 2020, and 2021 for violations such as sleeping while sailing, falsifying records, and lying to his superiors. See, that's what jumped out at me. Who hasn't lied to your superior? I know I'm guilty. And the whole thing about falsifying records, I may have fudged that I worked a full week. I even do it now. But getting to fall asleep behind the wheel of a ferry with a couple of hundred people on it and taking it into a dock, that is unacceptable. And they allowed him to go on after that. Whoever was in charge of that ferry company is the moron.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. That's the kind of thing where you go, "Yeah, buddy, I'm sorry, man. We cannot look the other way while you sleep with all these passengers.
You can't. He came in hot.
Well, let's slide on down to our favorite state, Florida, where a Florida man named Mr. Whitaker had stashed fentanyl in a Walton County patrol car during a drug arrest, and who was also hiding fentanyl where the sun does not shine, and has been sentenced to prison for 7 years. The incident happened when deputies searched Whitaker's home. Whitaker, who was on probation for drug charges, was arrested and transported to the Walton County Jail. Once at the jail, a cavity search was being conducted when a chunk of purple powder fell out of his cavity. That powder
that's a loose
was confirmed
cavity.
To be,
yeah.
That powder well, was guy confirmed gets older. To be fentanyl. Yeah. Deputies later learned that Whitaker stashed a large quantity of fentanyl under the rear seat of the patrol car while being transported to the jail. In-car dash cam footage confirmed, while handcuffed to the rear, Whitaker reached into the area of his buttocks and removed plastic bags and then stuffed them in the area where the seat belt goes into the plastic molding of the seat. The patrol car was immediately secured, searched, and found to contain 32 grams of fentanyl under the rear seat. The plastic bags tore during the process, and loose fentanyl residue covered the area under the seat. The car had to be out of service for 3 months while they had it professionally cleaned for fear of the somebody getting hurt with the fentanyl. Whitaker was charged with trafficking in fentanyl, felony violation of probation, introduction of contraband into a jail facility, tampering with evidence, and possessing of drug paraphernalia. On the brighter side, Mr. Whitaker knows something about Kegels, okay? He knows something about Kegels. Talk about muscle control, Mr. Whitaker has got it.
Oh, yeah, he's got that. No worries there. And finally, 23-year-old Matthew Leshinsky called 911 at 3:30 in the morning to report a burglary in progress at his business, Quantitative Laboratories, LLC, on Long Island. And when police reached the scene, they found broken glass at the entrance of the lab, and then they discovered something shocking. This lab facility was actually a Breaking Bad-style meth operation, and just meth. DMT and GBL, which is similar to the date rape drug GHB, they got $40,000 in cash and more than 100 items of lab equipment. And none of it would have happened, even though Leshinsky admitted eventually that he was running the Breaking Bad lab. None of this would have happened. He would never have gotten caught if he hadn't called 911 on himself. And that's how you get to be the moron of the day. We'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stop.
Humanity dreams of a day when we can inhabit Mars. However, it wasn't long ago that even great thinkers and inventors were convinced Martians were there first. So much so that the U.S. government instituted a National Radio Silence Day
to listen for signs of extraterrestrial life.
True. Weird. Stop.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
So the other day I brought you some actual newspaper headlines that are so stupid that they're breathtaking, and I didn't have time for a few, and they're priceless, so I want to share them with you. These are from newspapers around the United States. Some of them are old, some of them are fairly new. Here's the first one. These are actual newspaper headlines. The headline is, "Rooms with broken air conditioners are hot." Can't argue with that, you know, just cannot argue with that. Here is one that jumps out at you. Mississippi literacy program shows improvement. Mississippi is spelled M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, apostrophe
Mississippi.
S. Mississippi.
It's Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi, that's right. The next one here. Oh, I don't want to do that one, no. Greenland meteorite may be from space. That's interesting. Most earthquake damage is caused by shaking. Yeah. You know, again, you can't argue with this. Nope. Miracle cure kills fifth patient. I'd be a little bit nervous in embracing that. Yeah. Republicans turned off by size of Obama's package. Well, you know, just that's politics.
I'm not really going to touch
that's,
that.
That's politics today. Literally, scientists to kill ducks to see why they're dying. That would do it. Yeah, that would do it. Yellow, this is from the Metro Herald. Yellow object spotted in sky. I got a guess. I got a guess at what that may be. Was, another headline, was bank robber a he or a she? Breasts might be a clue. Well, they always are. They always are. Woman in sumo wrestler suit assaulted by ex-girlfriend in gay pub after she waved at a man dressed as a Snicker bar. Well, that really will kind of tick a girl off. And then finally, ladies and gentlemen, from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, the local newspaper headline was, prisoner serving 2,000-year sentence could face more time. I don't know. This is Bob and Sherry.
We're very excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. There's so much content. You get classic chat room calls, your best of CDs, behind the scene photos and videos, and it only costs $4.99 a month. Go to bobandsherry.com/premium.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It is time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Mary Gallagher.
So speaking of children who find magic, let's talk more about my childhood. Both of my parents are former United States Marines. Oh. Thank you. I will accept that applause and not tell them because I am in show business. Yeah, my parents were living with me for a while out in Hollywood, but then my father said, I'm sorry, Mary, your mother and I have to move back to the United States of America. My parents loved this country, though, just none of the people in it. They actually were fine with the pandemic because they've been socially distancing themselves for years. I was the baby who was kept 6 feet away. I didn't tell them about the show tonight because if they came, after every joke, you would just hear my mother say, for crying out loud, Mary. And after the other comics, my father would just yell out, I don't care. So yeah, as a kid, we never went to the beach. We stormed the beach. But having a mom who was a Marine was pretty tough. She used to make me scrub the bathroom floor with a toothbrush. So I used hers. Recently, she admitted to me growing up I was not her favorite. That's always hard, isn't it? Especially if you're an only child. When I was in the hospital having my daughter, we told my father that we were naming her Mia. That's M-I-A. He just kind of shuddered and walked away. With our dog POW. I have just one child because of that law in China. I'd like to have another one day, but if I do, I want to adopt because, you know, I really want to make a difference. My daughter says, why not try making dinner? That'll make a difference. Love being a mom, though. Oh my gosh, I love everything about it, except maybe for the word mom. When I look at that word on paper, ladies, it doesn't look very skinny. I mean, it looks like they used some sort of pudgy hieroglyphics to make that word. You know, I'm made up of two giant double mountains with a donut in the middle, which is kind of funny because I do have a donut in the middle. When my daughter was really little, we used to do a lot of play acting games. Like, we would put on a whole production of Cinderella, and I'd have her mop all the floors while I tried on shoes. And then we play Frozen. Do you guys ever do that? You play Frozen? That's where I'd have her make me a margarita. Watched a lot of Sesame Street. I love Sesame Street. I feel like there should be a Sesame Street for adults, you know, kind of continue that great education. It would be on late at night when people come home from a bar and you'd turn it on. It'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 step program. So So a couple of years ago, some of the moms at school pickup found out I do stand-up, and now they always think I'm joking. I said, hey, guys, guess why I couldn't make it to the PTA meeting? I don't know, Barry. Why could you make it to the PTA meeting? Because I was so sick. How sick were you? I'm like, guys, come on, seriously. I had the flu. Like, oh, I don't get it. You will. So my daughter has an American Girl doll named McKenna. Do you guys know about American Girl dolls? Yes, of course you do, right? They are these like $400 dolls that you buy for your kid. These dolls have a far more interesting life than any of us. They would not be caught at a taping like this tonight, that's for sure. So what's interesting about the American Girl doll is the American Girl doll store. Because inside the store, they have a hospital for the dolls. So if anything happens to your doll, you take it there, you check it in, little wheelchair comes out, it's so cute. Then 4 or 5 days later, you get your doll back brand new. America does not have healthcare, but American Girl doll does. Yeah, my daughter and I, we're trying to get on McKenna's plan. Because it's so much better than the plan we're on now over at Build-A-Bear. The copays alone. So I just got divorced, which is why I look so adorable. Yeah, now that I am divorced, I'm going to change my name because I just don't feel like Mary Gallagher anymore. So I'm going to change it to Un-Mary Gallagher. My former husband said he was trying to find himself. I was like, oh no, don't find that guy. No, that's the guy we were trying to shake.
You know, Mary Gallagher, I thought her lines were really funny, but that was a dead house. I don't know. She even mentioned in the middle of the bit, she was saying the American doll has a fun life. She wouldn't be here. There was a dead house. Those lines were really good.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a sleepy audience. I mean, it's one of the gambles with... It's with stand up, but really with
one
anything,
of the mini
right?
gambles. The mini gambles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's get that posted on up at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry Keepsake Family Photo Album.
And since you're a part of the family,
you are an unceasing onslaught of dysfunction.
We're looking for pictures you've taken with Bob and Sherry at Bob and Sherry events
or around town.
If your picture is selected, you can be a part of this very special Bob and Sherry Keepsake Album.
All right.
If you got a picture, go ahead and send it to
hello@bobandsherry.com.
You never know. Your photo could make it to our family album. Don't forget your photos to hello@bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Hey, listen to this. A great way to show your appreciation for a teacher is to send them to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach for a vacation from Visit Florida. You can nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com. I'm going to give you two items that are currently for sale this week. And you tell me which one, or maybe you wouldn't want to buy either one. The first one is Elton John's Yamaha piano. It is on the block for right around $200,000. I'll tell you, Elton is making a lot of money selling his old stuff. He's been doing this for like a year, and holy cow, it's millions of bucks. $200,000 for the Yamaha piano that Rocket Man used to play on. The second one that's going on the block is Al Capone's bulletproof 1928 Cadillac. That is on the market for just under $1 million, right around $900,000. It's a green Cadillac town sedan, one of the first armored cars to be made in America. And it's rumored to have been modified by the gangster by a mechanic. Capone was, he was only the boss of the Chicago mob between 1925 and 1931, 6 years. And he died in 1947 at the age of 48. You get an authorized, document that says, here is the owner that had it here, here's the owner that had it here, and Capone had it during the 1930s. It's currently going on sale with Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas, Nevada. Would you buy either one of those things?
I don't know how to play the piano, but I think it's because you said we had millions of dollars, right? So these are just $250
million, impulse buys.
I would buy the piano and then I would donate it to a music school so that the kids who could play the piano and did have talent could experience that.
Yeah. How about you? Lamar, would you buy either one of those, Lamar? $250 million.
I hadn't thought about that until Sherry said, buy it, which I have no need for it. I can't play anything. I can't play the radio. So, but if I donated it to a really cool school, I could get the tax write-off on it. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
I would go with Capone's car. I mean, that a green Cadillac Town Sedan, an armored car. From
that's pretty cool.
Who are you going to donate that to, Bob? Or were you going to just keep that for your own selfish self?
I'm going to keep it for my own selfish self. Yeah. I mean, can
you're
going
to drive
up
to like around
a party.
I you gotta have a driver.
Oh,
a driver.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're sitting in the back. Sitting in the back. Maybe Mary will drive you around.
Oh, that's not going to be happening. No, sir. That is not going to be happening.
Yeah.
$250 million. I can get a driver every now and then. Can you imagine pulling up at a party in a green 30s Cadillac that's bulletproof? People are going to come over. Tell me about the car. Oh, you mean Al Capone's car? Yeah.
Would love and cherish and treasure that car because he has such an affinity to that time period and feels like maybe he lived another life back then?
Who?
Is Max.
Who? Yes, I would.
You should let Max have that car.
In fact, I would make that the first exhibit in my idea for a car museum, Notorious Automobiles. So I would have like Ted Bundy's Volkswagen
Notorious.
In there. I'd have O.J. Simpson's Bronco, and I would have this vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, that would be something. I would go to that museum. Somebody
Can
owns
I work
the
at
Bronco.
That museum? Would you give me a job there taking up tickets?
Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
Somebody does own the Bronco. I remember we talked about it when it was sold. I can't remember who has it, but yes. Yeah,
about a year ago.
That.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think Gen Z people know who Al Capone is?
Some do. I mean, it's like anything else. Some do.
That's pretty strong.
You got to have kind of an interest in that kind of history and that kind of entertainment. But yeah, like Cara Mia knows who Capone is.
She does? Yeah.
Of course.
Well, she's very aware of stuff. Yeah. I wonder. I mean, that's pretty amazing. As bad a guy as he was, to be remembered when you were only really famous for 6 years, all those decades later, the name Al Capone sticks out. I mean, it's almost like Marilyn Monroe, Hitler, Elvis. Al Capone, he's one of them. He will always be with us.
You're not remembered for anything really good.
No.
When you're Hitler and Al Capone.
OJ's Bronco. And it really wasn't OJ's. It belonged to his friend Al Cowlings, but it's at the Alcatraz East Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Is it really? Yep. You can see it in Pigeon Forge.
It's a big one up there,
I'll be doggone. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Netflix has a series called Jewish Matchmaking. And it's done by Aliza Shalom. And her philosophy is summed up with this: date them until you hate them. And what she means is you have to be careful. You meet somebody and there's a big spark. Wow, this is great. This is great. This is going to be fantastic. So keep dating them. But keep in mind that sometimes that spark can really confuse you. And down the road, you start to notice, and it could be in just a few days or weeks, you notice there are some things you don't like. Like Max was once talking about someone he was dating, and they'd go somewhere in the car and this person would say, why are you going this way? All the time. Why did you go this way? And he knew instantly that long term, he was not going to be able to hang with this person just because of that. So you have to be careful that you're saying to yourself, boy, I had this big spark, but now, you know, all of a sudden I realize they criticize my choice of restaurants like all the time. I don't know about that. Pay attention, because if they start mounting, piling up, you are sometimes saying to yourself, I've invested so much time in this person. There was a big spark. So why would I give up that time? Because
there's a name for that.
What is it?
There's a name for that. It's called sunken cost fallacy. Like, I've spent this much time or money already. It'd be crazy to back out now. I just have to keep going. And
exactly.
You see a lot of relationships go that way. Yeah.
So if you date them till all of a sudden, and you're aware of this, you're aware of what's going on, you date them until you hate them, it's time to bail out. Because if you don't, you could end up, let's say, at the least wasting time when you could be going out finding somebody who's nicer for you, or you could end up staying with them permanently. And
so question.
It's better, let me just finish. It's better to have a romance that smolders and gets heated more as you're together rather than this big flame at the top, which may dissipate.
So my question is, how long do I have to go in search of hating this person before I cut my losses? Because it seems to me like there has to be some sort of time frame, don't you think, Lamar? Like, how long am I trying to see if I'm going to hate them?
There's got to be. Well, there's a point when you won't get out. There's a point when you won't get out. I just don't know what that is. Is that multiple years? Or I think you have
exactly.
to get out early.
It
I think
varies.
You have to get out early. You got to get out early or you're going to get stuck.
Well, that's what she's saying. Date him until you hate him. You know, you've got to bring in the information right away and don't dismiss the negatives. You know, they could be a nice person, but there are negatives that are coming your way from them and you don't want to live with it. Don't dismiss those things because there was a big spark before.
Do you have to, like all the things that would drive you crazy, do you have to find a way to trigger those immediately? Like, is this person a loud chewer? You know, am I going to be driven crazy by?
I'm out. I'm done. I'm
see,
done.
That's out. Or
chewer,
like,
I'm gone.
Yeah.
Like, here's another deal breaker.
Here's
another deal breaker for Lamar. Hey, Lamar, I'm just going to use the restroom. Why don't you come keep me company?
No, 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 no.
Or even worse, Lamar's in the bathroom. Can I come in and talk?
No, no, we're not even talking through the door. No, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you don't have to set people up. I think it would take a certain amount of time for some people and then pretty quickly for another. Like in Max's situation, it was pretty much immediate that this person is going to be a controlling person. The people that really get in trouble here are the people that are reading a book by Logan Urey, which is called How Not to Die Alone. If you I know I laughed too when I heard it. How Not to Die Alone. Those are the people that have to be very careful about the big spark at the beginning. And then, you know, as the relationship goes on, dismiss some of the things that are irritating.
Yeah. Yeah. So Max was smart. He got out right at the beginning. I can't think of a scenario where on a first date, a woman would say to Lamar, I'd like to come into the bathroom while you go. So poor Lamar couldn't get out as early.
Could take longer. Could take longer. That's
right. It could take longer.
And Bob, you're vulnerable because, like, if she's really cute and blonde and bubbly and has a fun, like, outlook on life, the fact that she's got a bloody machete barely concealed under the front seat of her car, you're going to find a way to live with that.
Buying her a house. I'm buying her a house right away. You're right. Yeah. We should date them until you hate them.
Oh, well.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, I know we're all here big Soprano watchers. We all know who Drea Di Matteo is that played Adriana on the show. Evidently, she didn't save all her money, or I don't know, but she got into some financial situation, was losing her house, and she opened up an OnlyFans subscription. And she said in just a matter of days, she was able to get her mortgage caught up and start saving up some money. She only had $10 left in the bank when she signed up the OnlyFans.
Whoa.
And evidently she's doing really, really well.
Wow.
She said, you know, anybody that wants to condemn me or put me down, go ahead. I just hope you never find yourself in the position I was in to take care of two little kids. Her mom had died. I mean, she just had a whole lot of tragedy, and she was behind. She had had her house for a long time, but she was behind on the payments, and she didn't know what else to do. And this has really turned it around for her.
I've never been on OnlyFans, but you know, you hear a lot of stuff. I mean, is it mostly women with nudity?
She says it's racy. A lot of the OnlyFans pages are not full nudity, I think. Am I right, Sherry?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily... OnlyFans wasn't built to be a porno site. It just kind of became that because hashtag people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're a fan of a celebrity, maybe just having access, I don't know. I wish I had time in any given day to spend hours looking at people's booties on OnlyFans. That would be a treat.
Yeah.
It sounds like racy could be perhaps not X-rated, but
yes, I think so.
Very R-rated stuff, and there are guys that have been attracted to her.
She has taken some of the money that she made, and she started up a new company called Ultra Free, and it's all kinds of T-shirts and I don't know. I looked on that website, and it looks pretty cheesy, but evidently she's able to keep her house and raise her kids, so.
She should try opening a bar. She should try opening a bar in Jersey. Maybe that'll work out for her.
Yeah. Maybe so. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. But it's even easier if you just have our app, which is free in Google Play and the Apple Store, because you can listen to the show and all of the podcasts, including Talking Lamar and True Weird Stuff. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. You can tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, guys, it's Kyle in Nebraska. I can't remember if this was in Morons in the News or its own segment, but a podcast I listened to recently from last year had a story about a bank error of some kind that was allowing people in, I think, Ireland to withdraw money that they didn't actually have from ATMs. The specifics don't really matter because the point is the story reminded me of a bank error I once experienced, but unlike the people in the story, I didn't try to claim money that wasn't mine. When I was in college, out of state, my dad opened an account at a small local bank specifically so he could deposit money for me to withdraw with a debit card if I needed help with something. One time I needed some help with rent, so he was going to put some money in the account for me. When I used the ATM to check the balance to see if he had made the deposit yet, I immediately called to ask him if there was something he hadn't told me. He was like, "Well, what do you mean?" I replied, "Well, I thought you were sending me a couple $100, but I just checked the account and there's $3.7 million in it." After a few moments of silence, he said, "Let me talk to the bank and call you back." We never found out for certain what happened, but we were led to believe that some kind of software glitch resulted in all the deposits that were made at that bank on that day going into my account. Nearly every person who's heard this story has said something along the lines of, "Man, you should have taken some of that money out," as if somehow the bank wouldn't have noticed when they fixed the error. And although it has faded a lot over the years, I still have the receipt that I printed from the ATM showing that, for a short while anyway, I was once a multimillionaire.
Wow.
You know, yeah, he's right. It is interesting how so many of those stories, I think we probably get one every 6 months to 12 months, how many of those people look at that and there's $12 million in their account and they went, "Yeah, daddy's getting a new Porsche and a 5,000 square foot house." And they don't say to themselves, They're going to come and get their money back. The banks don't screw up too long.
It's just like for a minute, everything is possible, you know?
Right.
And your imagination is going to run wild with that. Like, look at all that's possible. And what if, and there's this other voice in your head, like your brain goes real fast. This other voice goes, yeah, but they may not catch the error. Like there may have been an error, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to monitor every single account. Like your brain does all these calculations. How can I get away with this?
Here's the one that I would use to get away with it. I would say, yeah, Mr. Bank, you did make a mistake, but that's on you, finders keepers. Okay, so it's mine right now. You screwed up. That's the best I could do.
I will never forget. This was, gosh, I don't even know how many years ago, before COVID for sure. The freeway that I drive on sometimes to get from the old station when we all worked there home, there was an armored truck and the back door, I guess, hadn't been locked. It was like out of a Looney Tunes cartoon, right out of Warner Brothers.
I remember.
The back door hadn't been locked and the truck hit like, I don't know, some kind of pothole or whatever on the road going 65 miles an hour. The back door bounced open and bags and bags and bags of coins hit the road. People were skidding to a stop and scooping coins into their pockets and just running like the world's biggest Easter egg hunt. And, you know, like you got to scoop up a fair amount of change to get a good pile of money, right? But people were like, screw it. This may never happen. This may never come my way again. They recovered some of that money. They didn't recover all of that money.
Yeah, I remember that. And there were no cameras around that were good enough to identify who the people were. So, you know, maybe they only got 10 or 15 bucks, but they got
it. But they got it. Yeah.
Well, you know what I thought? It's an armored car. What kind of an armored car? It's a bump and the back door flies open.
Yosemite Sam armored transport. Like it was just a cartoon.
Yeah,
the way
that
it happened. It was wild. And of course, there's a part of you because there's some, we all have that Robin Hood gene embedded in us somewhere. There's a party that's like, get it. You get those nickels, sir. Get as many as you can. Like you're rooting for them. You're rooting for the bandits to get away. Right, it's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, last week, my daughter was in a car accident. And I'm so thankful that she was not hurt. I mean, it was a pretty rough one. Her car was totaled. She was driving a about a 10-year-old Honda CRV. And it could take, I got to say, shout out to 10-year-old Honda CRVs. They can really take a whooping. But her airbag deployed. It was raining, oily, wet road. She hit the car, hit an SUV in front of her. She didn't get a ticket or anything, but she was hysterical. She was just beside herself, so scared, so shook up, so afraid of like that she was going to be in trouble. I was like, honey, you don't understand. Like this is the call a parent dreads and knows is coming. And you just pray that when it comes your way, that it's minor. And all I care about is that you're safe and that no one else was hurt and everybody's fine. And, you know, she wasn't doing anything wrong, not on the phone, like I said, not speeding, just, you know, big hot mess. The car, of course, is my car. It's registered in my name and I pay the insurance. And so let's play a fun game called Guess Whose Hellscape This Is. That'd be mine.
It's true. It's true because
luckily,
she doesn't know what to do and she's not the insured person.
Yeah, it's not the car's in my name. But luckily, 2024 has just been, I'm almost embarrassed at what a spa day it's been for me. Let's recap, shall we? So on the ninth day of 2024, my husband had his leg rebuilt, ortho surgery, and has been immobilized ever since. And that's been a good time. And of course, our refrigerator died and had to be replaced on January 12th. A few days after he came home from the hospital. And that was a good time. And as everyone knows, refrigerators only cost $6. So that was not an issue at all. You know, I scooped up a $6 refrigerator. Replacing my daughter's car is probably going to be about 15 cents. So that's not going to be an issue. Yeah, pocket change, one thing after the next. And I'm just so glad we were reviewing because she was so upset. We were like, listen, this happens when Kevin was your age. He was in an accident on the interstate coming home from the University of Georgia to visit his parents. And his car was so demolished that the state trooper told him, son, you're lucky to walk away from this. We thought this was a fatality. That's how bad his car was wrecked. Yes. Mm-hmm. When I was about the age Olivia is now, someone T-boned me in an old, old VW Beetle. And I spent hours that night in the emergency room having glass picked out of my head with tweezers. So, you know, it happens. Like everyone, especially when you're a new driver, everyone gets into some sort of a dust up. If you're lucky, it's minor, a little fender bender in a parking lot. And if you're not so lucky, it's like what happened to Kevin when he was lucky to walk away alive. And his accident, by the way, happened on Friday the 13th. So he's always been a little keyed up about Friday the 13th ever since.
Can I talk about luck now? And Olivia's situation. Olivia is so lucky, number one, of course, that she was not harmed. But number two, that she has a mother, a parent like you. When I was 16, I'd had my license 6 months. I've got three or four friends in my father's sedan and let me have it for the night. And we decided to go to the top of what's called East Rock, where you have a view of New Haven. And I'm driving and I come around a corner because it's a very circular sort of driveway to get to the top of this place. And I take the corner too tight, and I slide into a brick embankment. And bottom line, it was $360 damage, when $360 was probably a couple of thousand dollars. So I go home. Everybody's fine. And I go home, and I walk in, and he's reading the New Haven Register, smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. And I said, I hate to tell you, and my father was Yosemite Sam. I said, I hate to tell you, but I dented the side of the car. He didn't even take the paper down. I just still saw the smoke rising above it. And all I heard was, novice drivers. Those two words that I have never, and I think I would have felt better if he had yelled at me or something. I went immediately and got a job at the International House of Pancakes as a busboy / dishwasher to pay him back for that. I felt so horrible. I felt like I was the worst driver ever, that I was letting down the family because we were broke, you know, and now he's got to come up with that and all. To have a mother that's saying, don't worry about it, after the kid just totaled the car, is miraculous. She is so lucky.
Well, I mean, I have had a life with a lot of tragedy and loss in it, and I'm not confused about my priorities. Does it suck? Yeah. Is it expensive? My car insurance was already insane. It's about to go up. But do I have a child that walked away from... I sent you guys a photo last week.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
I have
something.
A child that walked away from that without a scratch. So, yeah, I'm not... I know what to be grateful for in this sewer of a trash world that we live in. And I'm grateful for that. Straight ahead. Oh, my God. It's so cold. This man's teeth shattered and fell out of his mouth. I cannot wait to tell you this story. Next, it's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender. Now streaming on Netflix.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this.
All right, gather around, kids. I'm going to tell you an amazing story of something that happened on the Terra Nova expedition. That was a journey in Antarctica in 1910, and it was led by Robert F. Scott. And one of the goals was to get to the South Pole and retrieve emperor penguin eggs. Emperor penguins are really interesting. They sit on their nests all winter, like the coldest, most difficult time of the year, emperor penguins protect their nest so that the babies will hatch in the spring and have all spring, summer, and fall to get enough feathers so that they can survive the next winter. Okay?
That's amazing.
So they wanted to get these emperor eggs, emperor penguin eggs, because scientists back in 1910 believed in something called recapitulation theory. And it goes like this. The embryo of a creature, as it develops in the egg, takes all the forms of its ancestors. That was the theory. And they thought if they could get their hands on some emperor penguin eggs, they could prove that birds were once upon a time dinosaurs. Okay, so that's the mission. It's never been done before. They're at their base camp at Camp Evans, and the emperor penguin nesting ground is 62 miles away. Ooh. It's full night. It's full 24-hour darkness, and the only light they have to guide their path is the moon. It was so frigid and so cold, and the assistant zoologist on this trip was a gentleman named, listen to this man's name, Apsley Cherry Gerard. Okay, so Apsley is the assistant zoologist, and he is so excited because this could be a discovery that changes everything, proof that the birds were once dinosaurs. So they set off on June 27th, 1911. It took them 19 days to get to the emperor penguin's nesting ground. And Apsley wrote, the horror of the 19 days it took us would have to be experienced to be appreciated, and anyone would be a fool who went. It's not possible to even describe it. I had come to the point of suffering at which I did not care if I lived, only if I could die without much pain. Let me tell you what they went through. They slept about 4 hours a night. They trudged through snow and storms. They were carrying sleds attached to harnesses on their back. They didn't have like high-tech winter clothing back then in 1911. So every day they pulled those sledges across the ice and they would sweat and then they would freeze solid in their sleeping bags. Apsley said, I went outside and raised my head to look around and found that I couldn't move because as I stood up in 15 seconds, my clothing froze rock solid. For four hours, I had to pull the sled with my head in the upright position. I couldn't turn it. They were able to get 5 eggs from the emperor penguins. 2 of them cracked on the way back to camp, which was located on something called Mount Terror, if that gives you anything to think about. They couldn't turn. Apsley said, the horrors of that return journey are blurred in my memory, and I know they are blurred in my body. He said, we would lie in our sleeping bags, shaking so hard with the cold that our backs would nearly break. There was a pause in the middle of one day. He said, we stood panting with our backs against the mountainous mass of frozen gear. There was no wind. Our breath crackled as it froze. There was no unnecessary conversation. I don't know why our tongues never got frozen, but all of my teeth shattered from the cold.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
No!
They were able to bring back 3 eggs. Each egg was encased in alcohol with a teeny tiny window cut into the shell to reveal the embryo inside at the Natural History Museum in Tring. So poor Apsley, all of his teeth froze solid and shattered in his mouth. He was spitting out bits of his teeth. And the theory of recapitulation, well, that turned out to just be a whole lot of Harry Potter nonsense, because no matter how much they stared in at the little window, they never saw a dinosaur. And they wouldn't even crack one of those eggs and scramble it for poor Apsley, who could only eat soft food because all of his teeth had shattered in his mouth.
Boy, that is
dedication. The human spirit in the search for knowledge absolutely unbelievable. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
An annual event commonly known as the Naked Man Festival is coming to an end, sadly, because of the declining population in that area. This is over in Japan. The Somensai Festival, commonly known as the Naked Man Festival, it involves thousands of loincloth-clad men gathering at Kokusuji Temple in Oshu to touch a naked man. It started over 1,300 years ago. It involves around 9,000 men with nothing between them and the winter chill but a loincloth and a few swigs of sake as they parade through the town. Local groups get together and demonstrate their strength and dexterity by carrying these large bamboo poles called naizaza into the shrine. Buckets of ice water are continually poured on these men as they continue shouting for the appearance of the Shinrin-toku, or Godman. This man is kept in solitude and prayer for days before the festival. He is then shaved from head to toe, and on the day of the festival, he is sent out into the crowd of thousands. These semi-naked men try to touch the Shinrin-toku to transfer the future misfortune onto him. Finally, the Godman will be pulled into the shrine as everybody cheers. Now, he is beaten and bruised, just not from aggressiveness, but just everybody trying to touch him, and he's in all those places. This year's winner was a local resident, Katachi Toshika, who's 49, who is a member of the festival's preservation association. He says, "It is sad that the festival is ending. I participated in hopes that it would be a memorable festival. This has been going on for a long time, but it's finally fading out." And when they're throwing those buckets of water on them, you can see the steam. This is wintertime, but the steam rises up from the crowd. There's so many people, and the humidity and the heat. It's crazy. I saw some film of this, and it's an unbelievable festival. They do some crazy things.
It's an amazing thing.
They really do. Yeah. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
When I tell you that I really have enjoyed taking care of my husband in his convalescence from his ortho surgery on the bionic rebuilding of his left leg, I really have. I'm not being sarcastic. I don't feel any resentment. I have really thoroughly, I like taking care of people. I've enjoyed taking care of him. We have spent a ton of time together in a way that we hadn't in a really long time. And I realize that we need to spend this kind of time together when he's not my helpless prisoner pinned to the couch and unable to escape me, right?
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it's been like 24/7 now for a couple of months, and maybe not getting out much, or I don't know, maybe all the worry that I've had is taking a toll, because a couple of things happened yesterday that let me just start. Okay. So I made a batch of homemade iced tea, 'cause that's what he likes to drink. And, I had the tea steeping and I cleaned out the pitcher. And now I'm going to pour the tea concentrate into the pitcher and add a little bit of simple syrup and fill it with water and give it a stir, right? Nothing fancy. And we have a pot filler faucet at our stove.
Oh, I'd love to have one of those.
Dude, it's my favorite thing in my kitchen, Lamar, because the water comes out at really high pressure and it's right there. So I had the sink was full of stuff. So I thought, I'm going to use the pot filler. So I put the pitcher under the pot filler and I turned it on really, really low, just like a pencil's, imagine the diameter of a number two pencil. That's how low and slow the water was going. And because I didn't want to spill anything. And then I got an idea. Let me run and get all of the towels and do a load of laundry. So I went and I got all of the towels and I did a load of laundry. And while I was in the laundry room, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and change out this cat box. It's where the litter box is. And I did that. And I come back into the kitchen. And now Kevin can't hear the water running because it's really low and it's the diameter of a number two pencil. But I've been gone for a while, boys. Yeah. It takes a little bit to gather up all the towels and get them in the washing machine and then clean out the litter box and take it out to the trash.
Longer than you think.
And a 1 gallon Rubbermaid plastic pitcher fills up a little bit quicker than you might think. Yeah.
It only holds a gallon.
Walked into the kitchen to an iced tea flood.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I'll remind you that the pot filler is over the stove. So yep. I had to dismantle the entire stove get all the iced tea cleaned up. And here's the kind of good news, bad news of it. I needed 4 beach towels to sop it up. And I had already started a load of towels. So then I had a second load of towels to do. Boy, that wasn't very efficient, was it? 4 beach towels.
Am I to understand you did have sugar in that?
Just a little bit, just the tiniest bit. But you know what, Max? A little bit of sugar goes a long way when you're flooding. When you're flooding your kitchen with it. Yeah. So that was yesterday. And I think that's just like, I think I'm a little frazzled. What do you think? I feel like I'm just maybe a little frazzled and need a change of scenery or something. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one there. Cause cleaning up a liquid spill like that. Cause when you think you're done, you look somewhere else, yeah, and there it more. Is, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I had never taken apart a gas cooktop until yesterday, and the nooks and crannies in that thing really took me by surprise.
So this was harder. This was harder to clean up than the great vodka flood of 2023.
Much harder. And, you know, vodka is, it's kind of a disinfectant. Like, what it really just cleaned everything up. But this was not so much. So that was just, that was one of the things that happened yesterday. And we're going to pause here because I'm going to tell you the other thing that happened yesterday. And I'll give you a little teaser. For a minute, I thought there was a demon in the house. But it turns out it wasn't a demon. So see, good news, bad news, right? Giveth and taketh. The great flooding, the great Lipton flooding of 2024, but no actual hell demon. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, so I was going to tell you guys the other thing that happened yesterday. I think I really do need to get out of the house and maybe take a little break from all of my caretaking because I'm starting to come unraveled. So I clean up the flooded kitchen of all the iced tea. Well, I'll be cleaning that iced tea up until the sun dies. But I got what I figured I could get, most of it. And I went and got my laptop and sat down on the couch. I've been working on a True Weird Stuff episode about a very unusual funeral practice. And that's all I'll say, but it's kind of a spooky subject to be working on. So I'm sitting there and I've got my laptop open in my lap and I pull up the document and I don't even have my hands on the keyboard. I'm literally just like reviewing what I've already written. And suddenly my hands are in my lap. Suddenly the cursor is moving and letters are appearing on the screen. And I'm like, wait, what is happening? And so I hit the I grab over and I'm like backspacing, trying to get these strange letters that are appearing in the middle of my document. And my backspace key isn't working. It's like my computer is possessed. And I'm looking around and Kevin's like, what's wrong? I'm like, there's something wrong with my computer. It's just like, it has a mind of its own. And he's like, what do you mean it has a mind of its own? Look at it. It's writing in my document. Maybe I'm not supposed to be writing about this particular death practice. Like, what is happening here? and then it stops. And I try to select all and because it's right in the middle of the page, like all this gobbledygook. and nothing. My keyboard is completely dead. Now the cursor's jumping again, and here it comes again, and it's like 500 forward slashes, you know, just like one right after another. Oh my, what in the world? What now? And I whip my head around. And I say to my husband, what now? What more is going to happen here? I am just losing my mind. I cannot do this. And then it hit me and I whipped my head around and I saw it, the culprit. So remember a few weeks ago when I jacked my neck up and threw myself out of bed and just basically yes. was chaotic, just a total gremlin. Well, my friend Diana, who's a physical therapist, was like, girl, you need to get a remote Bluetooth keyboard and a stand for your laptop so that everything is at eye level, you're not bending. And she was right. It was a total game changer. And the keyboard is, it's a Bluetooth keyboard. It's, you know, you charge it up, it's wireless. You can turn it off when you're not using it, but I don't always remember to do that. And I guess I didn't remember to do that because one of the cats was on the keyboard. And when I tell you, I don't mean sitting on the keyboard. I'm telling you this cat was sitting in front of the keyboard, smacking at it with its paws, like a demon, like the devil. I need to maybe just like for a night, Lamar. I know y'all are busy. Carla's, you know, she's not up and about. You have an extra room. Just a night. Yes. I won't make any noise. I'll bring my own food. Okay?
Got the blackout curtains. Just don't worry about
it. Yeah. I feel like maybe I'm coming a little bit unglued. Thoughts?
It's slow. See, it's slow. You almost don't notice it. But it's there. It's there.
And for Kevin, who literally cannot escape any of this, he goes from the kitchen flooding not 2 hours later to me hollering that we have a demon. So let me give my Bluetooth keyboard 5 stars. It really works and it is amazing because it can be 10 feet away and being operated by a cat and the signal is strong enough to be picked up. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's really good. I just recommend that if you get one and you're not using it, turn it off. And also don't walk away from anything you're filling with water. Stand there and stare at it until the job's done. Just a couple of little things that I've learned.
As a precaution, you want to just dabble a little bit of holy water on that keyboard just to be safe?
Just a little teeny bit. Because you know, Lamar, when I was paying my bills online, not a problem. As soon as I get into this really mystical death practice, it's demon time. Yep. Even I'm seeing the connection. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
So there was a group of marriage counselors who got together and came up with a list of things that are everyday things, fairly simple things that couples can do to have a very happy marriage. Would you like to hear what things you should be
doing
to have a happy marriage? Okay.
This is Love Month.
Yeah, that's right. And to add a little production value, I have my chimes, of course, with me. Every time I am doing one of these things, I will hit one of the chimes. Okay? Just to add a little production value to it. All right? Quiet chimes. Okay. Perfect marriage. You need to be saying I love you 9 times a week. I think I do that.
Yeah. Okay, you do that? Yeah. Does it count if it's in a text or something?
I don't know. Let me get these marriage counselors on the line, and I'll ask them individually if it's a text.
In your opinion, does it count if it's in a text?
I think it does.
I do too.
Yeah, because texting is such a part of our lives now. The next one, you should be kissing 10 times a week. I think I do that. 7 cuddles a week. Getting frisky at least 3 times a week. Three times, that's all.
But I guess we're hitting and getting because I didn't hear any ding-dings for the cuddles.
Why'd you bring that up? I mean, that was unnecessary, wasn't it?
You kind of did it to yourself.
10 deep and meaningful conversations a month.
Silence.
I think so. I think so.
Silence.
Why are you laughing? No, I gave myself that one. I wish I didn't bring the chimes in here now that I'm into this whole thing. It's just not working out for me as well. Three dinner or date nights a month. Yeah. How about you? You have three date nights a month? You don't?
No, God, no. We don't go anywhere. We haven't done anything for years because of before the pandemic, but now, no. Of course, my husband would tell you if he was here, every night's a date night. It's just the two of us.
Yeah, right. Two drinks together a month. Oh.
Yeah.
Three arguments a month.
Yeah.
I don't. You think you have three arguments a month?
They're not knocked down, drag out. I'm packing my bags, but conflict and disagreement, sure, yeah.
I'm not going to give a small one on that. Three surprise romantic gestures a month.
I wish. No, things have gone off the rails here in the pandemic for sure.
I don't know if I do that. Two nights out on their own with friends each month. So that would be two nights a month you go out with one of your girlfriends, not Kevin.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Mary does that too, and I go with John once in a while. Cuddle up in front of the TV together six times a month.
Definitely.
I don't have that one. Two vacations together each year. Yeah, I got that. I almost left that out because it would so irritate you.
What is that? I'm still cleaning and working. So yeah, no, that's a real problem in our life.
Too many vacations each year.
No.
You don't. Not a week. Twice a year, you don't go on like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing.
Not since all of this started.
Not since COVID. Okay. Mm-mm. And finally, three shared hobbies and interests.
Yeah.
I got the dog. When we go boating once in a while. Yeah, I've got three, and we go hiking. Yeah.
My husband's really into. He's really into shooting. Like, what do you call it? Skeet shooting, clays, sporting clays. There you go. He's really way into that, and all different. Yeah, he's got all different. Huh. Got an armory here of weapons. You know, he's way into it, and he even belongs to a club out in the country, and he gets a golf cart and he drives around and he shoots at things, and he's like, you'd really like it. And I'm like, the part where I'm riding in the golf cart in the country, like, what part of it did you think I would like? And he's like, I'll let you drive the golf cart. Oh, now you're talking. So he wants me to go and do this shooting thing with him. So I told him that we would have to wait for a day when it wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold and I get to drive the golf cart. And he's not allowed to make fun of me if I never hit anything. But yeah, he's way into that and wants me to be into it.
Is it shotguns? Is he using shotguns?
He uses shotguns for that, but he has handguns where he goes to a shooting range, you know, and shoots at paper targets. And then he brings me the targets home and shows me like what a good job he did that day. And I have to praise him. Like, oh, look at that. They're all so close together.
Does he know that you're faking it? That, you know, you're faking interest?
As he said to me before, you know, I just appreciate the enthusiastic effort. So I think even if he knows that I'm faking it, he thinks that it's a sign of love that I care enough to fake it.
Yeah, that's exactly how we feel. And I'm speaking for all men. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, I'm flipping through the internet and I see something I don't expect to ever see on print. Martha Stewart does not wear underwear. Now, celebrities, they're just like us. Take Martha Stewart, for example. She never wears underwear, only swimsuits under her clothing, just in case she wants to go swimming. Yes. She confessed this at the Old Bags Luncheon in Florida, a place where no one ever knows when you might want to leap into a pool, river, ocean, swamp, what have you. Bathing suits are my underwear, she said. I don't wear any of that structured stuff. No tight lace, no Skims for Martha. However, she was careful to profess her admiration for Kim Kardashian's shapewear company. She says, I love Skims. I think they serve a good purpose, but I just don't wear those. I only wear Aerie bathing suits under my clothes. Aerie, the lingerie and swim brand, is owned by American Eagle. And she said, I just like it, you know. But my question is, what is she doing talking about underwear at a rich lady's luncheon? It doesn't, I don't know. Did anybody ask her this? I don't know. The Old Bags luncheon, by the way, is referred to only because it's a designer handbag, new and used handbags that they auction off at the event. That's why I call it the Old Bags luncheon. But go ahead.
I just have to say that Martha Stewart is living the best life of anyone. Her opportunities to have a quick swim are so frequent that she needs to be more prepared than a Boy Scout. Like, I'm green with envy. Like, I'd go to prison for a couple of years like she did for that life. Come on.
She must be close to a body of water at all times.
I mean, what I'm saying. Or an indoor heated pool, a hot tub.
Yeah.
It's like
she's never at a loss. She's never.
It's like she's
at a
mermaid or something. Like, she's just drawn to it. Wow! Thank you, Lamar.
I appreciate her sharing that information. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review. And maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.